ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट 22 and 23 translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Text 23. Tasyam kritati pranaya. Pranaya paya kataraha. Bahumanena cha badha. No chu kinchana vipriyam. Tasyam kritati pranaya. Pranaya paya kataraha. Bahumanena cha badha. No chu kinchana vipriyam. Before I read the verse translation, I'll read verse 22. Te palayanta samayam asura svakritam nripa tushnim asan kritasneha strivivada jugupsaya. O king, since the demons had promised to accept whatever the woman did, whether just or unjust, now to keep this promise, to show their equilibrium and to save themselves from fighting with a woman, they remain silent. Then verse 23 translation, the demons had developed affection for Mohini Murti and a kind of faith in her, and they were afraid of disturbing their relationship. Therefore, they showed respect and honor to her words and did not say anything that might disturb their friendship with her. Purport, the demons were so captivated by the tricks and friendly words of Mohini Murti that although the demigods were served first, the demons were pacified merely by sweet words. The Lord said to the demons, the demigods are very miserly and are excessively anxious to take the nectar first. So let them have it first. Since you are not like them, you can wait a little longer. You are all heroes and are so pleased with me, it is better for you to wait until after the demigods drink. Serious case of cheating going on here. We can see this psychology of cheating that Mohini Murti had won the confidence of the demons. And put them in a situation where they didn't want to squabble with her. Now they're just beginning to think, something funny going on here. She's giving the demigods the nectar, not us. You might give it all to them and none to us. They're beginning to think about it. Maybe something wrong is going on here. But she assured them, you see, the demigods are all very miserly in their consciousness and you're all great souls, so they want it first. Let me give it to them first, I'll give it to you afterwards. And they're suspicious. But at the same time, they don't really want to admit in their own minds that they're being cheated. And they have affection for her. She incited affection in them to cheat them, and they're still feeling affection. So they're a bit bewildered, but as we'll see, Rahu, he understood what was going on. He was taken in the first place, but he was the first to understand and do something about it. And this is the psychology of cheating. The Supreme Personality of Godhead cheats the demons because they want In this case, they didn't want to be cheated. But they want to live in the illusion that I can be happy without Krishna. So Krishna provides a whole phantasmagoria world. That's pretty kind, isn't it? If you have some kids and they want to play, say they want to play some game of fighting. Boys play like that. Girls don't play like that. So, I remember as a child, my father made me, he got some wood and made a sword out of wood and painted it in silver color so I could play at fighting with this imaginary. Well, it's a sword, but not a real sword. So that was my father. He did it. He went to the effort of making it and this and that. He could have bought one, but he made one for me because he liked to do things with his own hand, to be self-reliant. So what if God gave you a whole universe to play your dream with? That's pretty kind, isn't it? Nowadays you have that in the phone, right? You have games in which war games, and you can go in a second, you can relive the Battle of Stalingrad, or you can go back in history, and if someone didn't write something about a particular, you can imaginary wars in space and all kinds of things. That's the illusion of the computer games that you, and people get really into it, and they really apply their intent. You see also, I won't forget this, not so long ago, I saw somewhere in some airport or something, some cricket game was on the TV, and I saw some player, some Western player, and he had this look on his face like he was actually in a battle, like extremely serious, extremely, he's full concentration, as if it's life or death. If it was a battle, it would be life or death. But it's a cricket game. But it's big stakes, lots of money, and his reputation. And you have to concentrate like that to play at that level. If you're just futzing around in the road with the local boys, it doesn't matter. But there's huge amounts of money invested in that. So Krishna arranged. Even if Krishna doesn't directly arrange, then we arrange. There's sports. It's a mock battle. It's a game. But we take it very seriously. So Krishna arranges that we can be cheated. And in this situation, not even indirectly cheating, but directly cheating. But Krishna doesn't treat his devotees like that, usually. Bali Maharaj. And up to the level of the gopis. I quoted that in the first talk in this series. Kitava Yoshita. They accuse him of being a cheater of women. But God, when he's being God, which means Narayan in the Vaikuntha Lokas, he doesn't cheat anyone. Rama doesn't cheat anyone. He's Maryada Purushottam. He doesn't cheat anyone. He's fair, absolutely fair. He's a symbol of justice, just, an affectionate and just king. So in Krishna consciousness also, as practiced in this world, we come to Krishna consciousness with the expectation that everyone in this world is liable to cheat me, but in Krishna consciousness I won't be cheated. However, can there be cheating in Krishna consciousness? Well, there's a whole movement called the Ritvik movement, in which they say that, well, so many gurus in ISKCON, they fell down, and so they're cheating, therefore we don't trust anyone. We only trust Prabhupada. So we have imagined that Prabhupada is the only Diksha Guru for all devotees in ISKCON from now into the future. Prabhupada never said that, but they are able to interpret his words in a way which to them seems convincing. So it's, you cheat us, we'll cheat you. But they're cheating themselves. The Ritvigvadis, another form of cheating, they present Srila Prabhupada as the founder and acharya of ISKCON. What's wrong with that? The founder and acharya of ISKCON. That sounds all right, doesn't it? Anything wrong there? What's wrong is that Prabhupada didn't call himself the founder and acharya. He called himself the founder hyphen acharya. And in a letter of 27th of March 1977, sent by Tamal Krishna Maharaj as the secretary of Srila Prabhupada, he sent it out to all the GBC members. Srila Prabhupada stated that the GBC should see that no one whimsically change the name Founder Acharya. So they've changed it from Founder Acharya to Founder and Acharya. Founder Acharya means that Srila Prabhupada, who is the Acharya of ISKCON, who's also the founder. And then to distinguish from other Acharyas, who Srila Prabhupada in one talk in Mayapur, he said in future, talking about his disciples, he wanted them all to initiate, that in future there will be no shortage of Acharyas. But founder and Acharya of ISKCON means there's only one Acharya. Means there's no future Acharyas. And it also cuts out Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Gorky Shodas, Babaji Maharaj. They're not our Acharyas, because the only Acharya is Prabhupada. So they claim to be, we're really following Prabhupada. We're the ones who are really following Prabhupada. Of course, they're the ones who introduced all this mundane welfare work nonsense into ISKCON, which has been very well copied within the original ISKCON, which they broke away from. So there's some kind of cheating, misrepresenting Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, you wouldn't think, would you, in Krishna consciousness? Vidyam vastava matra vastu nirmat saranam satam. In the beginning of Bhagavatam, this is the highest truth, the essence of all the Vedas, which is understandable by the topmost swan-like devotees, are free from all envy and cheating, free from kaitava dharma, cheating dharma. But they've altered what Prabhupada said to suit what they would like him to have said. Here's another example. I saw last time I was in London, I saw a few devotees wearing t-shirts saying, real happiness is within. Srila Prabhupada, a quote from Srila Prabhupada. The problem is that there's no record of Prabhupada ever saying that. There is something like that in the Bhagavad Gita in the 6th chapter. Sukham atyantikam yattad. But that refers to the samadhi of the yogis in the yoga system, which Arjuna rejects and Krishna rejects. It sounds like the kind of thing which Buddhists and New Agey types say, real happiness is within. Real happiness is to be found within. And I guess that's the kind of message they want to give. And so, Prabhupada didn't say that, but anyway, now, probably most of our devotees who see that think that Prabhupada said that, because who reads Prabhupada's books these days? You've got better books to read, like, what is that? Home, Going Home, something like that. The Something Home. You know, better books which praise all kinds of Mayavadis. So that's a cheating to misrepresent Srila Prabhupada as saying something that he didn't say, which is in line with what we want to present, not in line with what he wanted to present. why don't you just say real happiness is within, and Dalai Lama or any number of Sri Sri or any number of people who say that kind of thing. Why say Srila Prabhupada? Because you're pretending that Prabhupada said that. Here's another one from the Bhaktivedanta Gurukul website. First thing I saw when I went there. To prepare fine citizens of the world, men of character and competence who can lead and inspire others. Great quote. The only problem is that you won't find anywhere that Prabhupada said it. It sounds like the kind of thing that Prabhupada might say, that we, the boys in the Gurukul, we want to train them as leaders. But leaders in Krishna consciousness, to lead others spiritually. But this say, so if devotees read that, they'll think, oh, that's a very good saying from Prabhupada. That sounds right. In the context of Krishna consciousness, it's fine, but it's not given in the context of Krishna consciousness, and you won't find any saying that Prabhupada said these words. To prepare fine citizens of the world, men of character and competence who can lead and inspire others. It could be any other school which is trying to get people to come and to get, send their children. It's the kind of any school, any school in the whole world which is advertising, send your kids here and send your money here also. They would advertise like that. First of all, send your money, then you send the kid, and then go on sending money. That's the system. So again, if devotees see that, they'll think it's quite nice. Because they'll see it in the context of Krishna consciousness. They won't complain, except... And as desired, the non-devotees also, who will read that, they'll think, oh, that sounds good. They'll take it in a secular context. That, oh, it'll prepare my child to become an airline pilot. Or what do they say we want to prepare? I can't remember exactly. The aim of the school is to prepare business leaders, social activists, and so on and so on. And it said with a holistic outlook. They're competent in the world, they have a spiritual understanding. So it's spiritual is there somewhere. So to make up a quote from Srila Prabhupada, or to adjust the quote to fit your agenda, which is not Srila Prabhupada's agenda, and present it in Prabhupada's name, it appears to be a kind of cheating, propagated in the name of Srila Prabhupada, in the name of Krishna consciousness. So all this is very dangerous. It's what we could call a philosophical or an idea. This kind of thing is a philosophical or ideological deviation, which in many ways is worse than a sexual fall down, which is not good. The Ritvikvadis are complaining about the fall downs of gurus in ISKCON, which is not good. But someone, sexual weakness that can be recovered from, if one goes on trying in Krishna consciousness, calling out to Krishna, and it only affects a few people. The devotee who falls down, and then if he falls down with another devotee, then it affects a small number. But a philosophical deviation or ideological deviation is worse, because it messes up the prospects of people understanding what is the path of pure devotional service and advancing on that, on the path back to Godhead. The upper sampradayas come out like this, the misrepresentations of Krishna's message. They chant Hare Krishna, some of them, or they chant some other names of Krishna. They put on Vaishnava tilak. They recognize themselves as Vaishnavas. But they are condemned as cheaters who have taken the process and teachings of Lord Chaitanya and tweaked it in their own imaginary way. So don't trust. If you hear someone say Prabhupada said this and Prabhupada said that, if it's not directly Krishna conscious, don't trust it. Many times devotees ask me, either personally or by email, well, someone said that Prabhupada said this. Is it true? And my standard reply is to say, well, ask them. What's the evidence that, can you give me the quote that Prabhupada said this? And then you have to see it in context also, because sometimes they take it out of context to give a different meaning. It's cheating. Or people may say, well, so-and-so said this and this, and then you ask them, well, what, you're asking me, is it true? Ask them, what's the evidence according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra? You don't have to ask me, ask them. And if they can't give evidence, if it sounds doubtful, and you can't give evidence from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then you don't have to accept it. Simple. Now, there is the danger that coming out of ISKCON, there can be misrepresentations which make new false sampradayas. Srila Prabhupada warned about that as early as 1968. What had happened, Achyutananda in India, people had approached him to take initiation from him. And being an innocent new devotee, he wrote to Prabhupada and asked if that was okay. Srila Prabhupada told him, no, not now. And he wrote, Srila Prabhupada wrote, there are many cheap gurus and cheap disciples without any substantial knowledge and manufacturing new sampradayas and with service activities stopped and all spiritual progress choked up. So Srila Prabhupada is warning his disciple, don't go that way. He saw the possibility of it happening, coming out of his own disciples. And it would be foolish to think that among the followers of Srila Prabhupada, it's not possible that there will not be deviations. In fact, it's practically certain that there will be, because it would be unique in the history of religion that there are not deviations from the original teachings and the original message. In fact, the whole of Christianity is it's not what Jesus taught. Jesus never taught that he died on the cross to redeem those who believed in him from sin. He never taught that. Never said anything like that. It's all imagined later. But the whole of Christianity is based on that. Srila Prabhupada emphasized so much, what you have heard from me, you repeat. In this way you become a guru. Well, we have the whole phenomenon within our society of what is called bridge preaching or indirect preaching. And then we have posters and on the internet. What do you call that on the internet when they have an advertisement with a picture? Poster? Internet poster? What do you call it? There must be some name for it. Anyone know? Anyway, and advertisements, ISKCON such and such, yoga classes, and they show someone doing some yoga, some fantastic pose for health, strength, and all this kind of thing. So the idea might be that, well, we'll bring them in, we'll do yoga, we'll give them prasadam, we'll chant, and then gradually we'll make them devotees. But what's actually happening, we see in many places, we become quite like that. So we just have kirtan in a way that we think will be pleasing to the people, entertaining style. And we don't upset people, and we only want to give them what they like. So the Sunday feast program is kirtan and prasadam. Entertaining kirtan and prasadam. No feast, and no talk, no philosophy, because people don't like philosophy. So when do they ever hear the philosophy? If you say the philosophy, they don't like it. I had that experience in America about 3 years ago. I went to a place where for months the devotees had been distributing. It had a weekly bhakti yoga program with the students in one university. They had kirtan and prasadam, and only one time they ever had a talk. So I gave a talk, didn't like it. When I talked about surrendering to Krishna, taking shelter of him, just like a woman submits to her husband. Oh, they didn't like that at all. Oh, they hated it. It really, really didn't like it. So Prabhupada, he gave kirtan, he gave prasad, he gave talks also. And most of the people walked out, but Prabhupada went on with his talk. You hear those early talks in 1966, 1 hour, even though most of the people left, but he went on talking. So we shouldn't be like some hugging woman and Shri Shri and all this. They give out so much good vibes. Smile at them and people feel so nice. Isn't that good? I mean, Krishna consciousness is all about love, right? It's all about love. So what do you need all this philosophy for? You just love. Just love them. But it's all very superficial. We should awaken the genuine spiritual propensity within people, not cultivate the cheating propensity within them by which we feel happy because they come and they all smile and they give us some money. And they feel happy because they feel, very good. Now I feel, kirtan makes me feel nice. But we don't poke at the ego. We don't give the idea that you're supposed to surrender to Krishna. They could come for years and years like that and not have any idea of that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They've been saying we're just some other impersonalistic yoga group, and maybe we are. That's the problem. One reason Srila Prabhupada was able to be successful in giving Krishna consciousness in the West is because he gave Krishna consciousness. Sounds like a truism. But you can't give Krishna consciousness by giving something else. You go in the, I'd like 2 kilos of bananas. Well, here's 2 kilos of apples. Actually, people might like that because apples are more costly. Here, maybe in Himachal Pradesh, the apples are cheaper. Okay, so I want 2 kilos of apples. No, you can take 2 kilos of bananas. You see, or you want to sell some diamonds, but no one's buying them. In a whole day, no one comes in the shop, and even if they come in, they don't have money to buy it. So let me sell glass bangles. Great business. So many people come, they're all buying glass bangles. That's an example Srila Prabhupada gave, isn't it? That it's like selling diamonds. We don't expect many customers, but they get the real thing. Instead of getting some cheap glass imitation jewels. So the danger in all this indirect preaching, it quells the revolutionary spirit that we have to change people's lives, we have to change the whole society. It's more like, yeah, you're okay, yeah, it's okay, you come, you try, everything's okay. But we have to tell them, nayam deho deha bhajan rilo ke kashtan kama narhate Vildabhujam, yeah, you're living like a stool-eating pig. Prabhupada said that to Mr. Shetty the first time in Bombay, the first time he ever met Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, so what do you, how do you spend your day? He said, well, I get up in the morning, I take a cup of tea, I go to work, and Prabhupada said, you're living like a pig. He told him, suajaise. He must have, suajaise. He must have been speaking in Hindi. It was a risk because Mr. Shetty might have gone away and never come back again. But he became completely devoted to Prabhupada. And actually, if it wasn't for Mr. Shetty, there wouldn't be the ISKCON temple in Juhu because the municipality destroyed the original structure. You know the story, maybe. And then the devotees were building it at night, and the municipality sent their gundas to stop them. But Mr. Shetty was sitting there with his gun. How many are you? 150. Send more, send more. I have 200 bullets. My son has 200 bullets. Send more. They all left. He was willing, he risked his life because he knew that Prabhupada was genuine. You won't, if you do all this kirtan, well, this is a rag which demonstrates the separation of Radha from Krishna. And oh, very nice. But no one's going to give their life for you. They're not going to dedicate. They're not even going to give up their mayavad or their smoking marijuana. They're not going to give it up just by imagining that you're on some high platform. That's a kind of cheating, isn't it? And people have no idea of Krishna consciousness. They tell, well, this is a rag. Now we're going to sing Hare Krishna in a rag which demonstrates the separation between Radha and Krishna. You see, it's all about love. I don't have any idea. If we have to give up sense gratification. No such thing. So I'll quote again from Noel Coward. It's not Guru, Sadhu, or Shastra, but it's quotable. It's discouraging to think how many people are shocked by honesty and how few by deceit. Maybe some listeners to this will be shocked by what I'm saying. Within our ISKCON society, if I point out the cheating of the Ritvigvadis, they'll say, oh, very good, very good. But if I point out cheating within our own circle, oh, very bad. But what's the difference? In misrepresenting Srila Prabhupada and Krishna consciousness. If we do it, it's okay. If they do it, it's not okay. It's not, in either way, it's okay. If someone points out that a sannyasi has a woman secretary, then it's wrong. He shouldn't have a woman secretary. And then people say, no, don't make offense. He's on a higher level. You can't understand. Yeah. Well, I can't understand, that's for sure. Whether he's on a higher level or not is highly doubtful. But people don't like to accept. It's just like the demons here, they didn't like to accept. We're being cheated by Mohini because we have affection for her. We have high regard for her. She also likes us. So it's very dangerous to be in a high position, high religious position, where people trust you to the extent that you can do things that you shouldn't do and they'll let you get away with it. It's very dangerous. It can be a license to do all kinds of abominable things. And that happened on a mass scale in the Roman Catholic Church, where priests were abusing young children, boys and girls, sexually abusing. And the children didn't want to say anything because one thing they were afraid, if they said something, their parents might beat them for saying something against the priest. And in general, they were afraid because the priest is a big, highly respected figure. Who will believe me? And when some of them later on, when they grew up, they started saying, in the beginning, people said, no, you're just making stories. But when more and more and more came, they found out they had a problem. So they were taking advantage of that. With the aura of sanctity that comes from being respected as a saintly person, to abuse people in the worst way, but it's hard to get people to think that they did something wrong. People prefer to accept the untruth because it's so disturbing to the mind when we've invested all our hopes in some person and they turn out to be something that we can't relate to. We still want to believe that, even if we're being cheated, we want to believe that it's the person is good. Just like here, we find the demons. They can see they're being cheated, but they just don't want to. They don't, in their mind, they can't adjust to it because Mohini, they feel affection for her and they respect her, and they themselves don't want to look stupid. Also, if you, of course, they've just been with Mohini for a few minutes, but people have given their whole lives to someone, and they find that it's very embarrassing to find that you've given your whole life to something, and it's just a fraud. So that's especially true in the case of gurus. We find gurus who fell down and people still follow them within ISKCON and without, outside of ISKCON. Durasha. Foolishly hopeful. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. More tomorrow if we're all still not quarantined from coronavirus, or whatever. There are all kinds of things that we couldn't imagine that could happen. No one imagined, except maybe the people who made the virus, if anyone made the virus, that this coronavirus would come up and impact the world in such a big way. You never know what will happen. But anyway, tentatively, tomorrow, I'll continue speaking on this theme. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.